Let's turn our attention to the city, and Jason Byinski, the mayor of Bryan, joins us this morning. Good morning, Mayor. Another, well, not as late, but y'all finished up, what, about 10 o'clock last night?
I'm getting old, Scott. 10 o'clock is late for me these days, but I had a lot of business facing the city of Bryan to go over and discuss.
Well, and one of the things that was discussed quite a bit, I think, at the last meeting, and that had to do with changes. When somebody wants to make a zoning change, what are the steps that you go through? How long does that process take? What are the guidelines? And once again, this is something that council is going to address.
We did have an agenda item that was placed for yesterday's meeting. It was pulled. There were some discrepancies that wanted to be looked at and revisited by council and staff first. So I assume in the next couple of meetings we'll be addressing these issues again in regards to the distance of notification, wanting to expand that from 200 to 500. I think currently there's maybe just a few cities in the whole United States that that allow that type of distance. Also on the notification, whether it's going to be a postcard or whether it's going to be in an envelope sent to the residents. There's some discussion on which one is more effective, extending a 10-day process to a 30-day hearing process. And then the big one is changing from a majority vote on conditional use permits and zoning processes to making it a supermajority vote, which would be 6 of 7 council members would have to agree.
Okay, now council members are on the P&Z.
This would be council members voting.
Okay, so in other words, if P&Z sends you something for you to overturn it, if this passed, would mean you would have to have 6 of 7 members voting.
Well, the way it was written, it would take 6 of 7 to change that.
Okay.
The way that it's intended by the authors of the ordinance, the council members, they wanted 6 of 7 to agree to a zoning change. But the way it was written, it was 6 of 7 would be needed to overturn the planning and zoning's recommendation on conditional use permits. So I think it's going to be reversed, and they're going to require a supermajority to make a zoning change, where 6 of 7 would have to agree. The way it's written as of last night, 6 of 7 would take to change that decision.
Okay. And so let me just ask, so if we didn't have 7 members there, if you only had 6 members of council there, then
all 6 would have to agree. If you had 5 council members there, then you obviously wouldn't be able to vote.
Wouldn't be able to take the the action.
It's clear as mud, but like I said, I think there's some things that can be looked at, and anytime we can improve the city, it's something we need to consider. But we also need to make sure that we don't stop the growth and development that we're experiencing in Bryan dead in its tracks. And I think if we went to a supermajority, and possibly the 30-day extension, it would be an extremely extreme measure that's not seen throughout the United States. I don't know that any city in the state of Texas implements that. It would stop buildings and growth and development in its tracks, and also would prohibit and delay homeowners and building fences and driveways and different changes that they wanted to make. But
it's bigger than fences and driveways in most cases,
it's
right?
It's bigger than fences and driveways. Yeah. And so we had a good turnout of folks for and against last night. It'll be something we'll discuss in the near future and see what we can come up with.
You know, part of the problem is, and I suppose as an elected official, you don't necessarily want to say it, but I will, that there are ways to find out about these things well ahead of time. These things are posted. Used to be, I guess, just in the newspaper. Presume that these actions are out there online that people can see on the Bryan website?
Absolutely, and they also send to the homeowners associations in the areas.
Yeah. So, I mean, most of this action is not an 11th-hour effort that's been done in the dark of night. If you are an interested citizen and you're in an area that's near or ripe for development, you probably need to understand what's going on in your community. It never hurts to do that, and then you can make your thoughts known to the P&Z, and then after that, after their action, if you want to, you can go to council. We do have a responsibility as citizens to know what's going on in our community, I think.
Absolutely, and I can't think of any instance where something was passed where the neighbors in the area were unaware of that change.
Certainly. We haven't had you in since Blinn made their announcement. I'd like to get your reaction there.
We're excited. We've got another campus coming to the city of Bryan and to our community here on the west side, corner of Leonard Road in 2018. So we're seeing a lot of new growth and development on the west side. If you haven't driven out there, you probably wouldn't recognize the west side. So it's in close proximity to the BioCorridor and the Texas A&M University Health Science Center. We've had a lot of money put into infrastructure improvements, got a lot of retail and residential growth and development that we're experiencing on the west side. So it was a logical fit for Blinn to consider that location. It's only a few miles from their existing campus, only a few miles from the A&M campus. They're not in the middle of someone else's backyard, so there's very few residential properties that are in the vicinity of the new campus. I think they're going to build on about 94 acres that they're going to work with, and it's going to be exciting. So they're going to add 10 to 15,000 students to that location. I think the fall 2017 is what they're projecting. But, you know, Blinn's experiencing substantial growth, and we are going through those growing pains at the current Villa Maria location. And, you know, I know the residents in that area would love to see some relief. And so it was very important to the city of Bryan and to Blinn College that we work to expedite the process of building a new campus in another location. And so we're excited with the announcement on the west side. We'll do all we can at the city of Bryan to expedite that process and to get them up and going so they can start moving some kids over and then expanding their efforts.
So as a member of council, what do you think the city of Bryan is capable of doing that they haven't done, and what would you be willing to have the city of Bryan do?
In regards to Blinn College?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we passed a memorandum of understanding last night between Blinn College and the city of Bryan, and just a few tidbits that was included in the MOU. Basically, we're going to set up and develop a master plan to look at the development around of the property and the campus and the property around the campus, and we'll be involved in some of the infrastructure improvements. There has been no funds dedicated or set aside for anything at this point, but Blinn would like us to work with them, working with TxDOT on ingress and egress, future zoning decisions they want to have a part of, and doing a plan development and making sure that what is developed around the campus complements in their mission. Of course, it's my philosophy that since there's barren land all around Blinn, I doubt you'll see a nursing home or a senior citizens complex that wants to locate next to a college campus. So I think what you will see are retail and residential opportunities for students that are in that area, but and something that would complement Blinn College. So we're excited about their growth and development. Blinn has been part of our community in the city of Bryan since 1970. They started out, I remember their campus in downtown Bryan to Townshire to Woodstone and College Station, and then Villa Maria in Bryan. So I'm very excited about their the potential there. There'll be new jobs. I think there's hundreds of jobs that'll come to this community that'll be close to the residents on the west side. The things that I hear most from the people on the west side have been recently that we need a grocery store. So there's a grocery store in the area now, and we need more restaurant opportunities. So I think that'll be a possibility. And we are hoping, Scott, that regardless of where those kids live in Bryan or College Station, that they'll stop off and do a little shopping and spend a few tax dollars, spend those dollars in Bryan en route back to their residences.
Sure. And speak to the bonding ability that the city of Bryan has and what options they would have to help out Blinn.
In the past, on the previous location, the Villa Maria location, BTU through the city of Bryan did help with the bonding capacity and financing of their improvements. I don't know that that's going to be requested this time. We did put that on the table with Blinn College. I'm not sure that that's going to be something the city's going to work with them on yet. So we haven't discussed that. I would be open to that and supportive of that, but as of right now, that's not something Blinn's requesting from the city of Bryan.
Finally today, we had Nancy Berry in last week, and she was discussing a dovetailing of the Brazos Transit system and the A&M bus system so that students would be able to use that system to get to campus. But also there's some funding requests out there from Brazos Transit. I'd like to, as one member of council, get your thoughts on what should Bryan be doing to help out Brazos Transit and at what level.
Well, we have yet to discuss this in detail as a city council. I've seen figures of $700,000 to $1 million plus that they would be requesting from the cities of Bryan and College Station in Brazos County, and for extended bus services, after hours and weekends. We've briefly discussed it and brought it up at a workshop meeting. I've had a lot of emails and phone calls and discussions, I guess, out of all the issues that we've been talking about, whether it's zoning changes or Blinn College and some of the others, this has been the one that's been most controversial. I would say majority of the people that I talked to were against spending those kind of dollars on transportation when very little is collected from the users. And there's a lot of folks that are of the opinion that it's not run properly to begin with. I am not an expert on transportation. I'm not an expert on Brazos Transit. We did receive some information from them last night. I know they're a large entity here that's based in Bryan College Station here. But, I think 95% of their funds are taxpayer dollars. So you, Scott, and our taxpayers and our listeners are paying for transportation in Bryan and in College Station already through federal funds that are our tax dollars also. So should additional dollars be put into that, or should maybe we look at what they can do internally to expand those operations with very little additional dollars spent? So that's something we can talk about efficiencies if I hear it once, I hear it 1,000 times that we see the buses around town and they're empty. We've had a lot of complaints from some of the users that, there's no bus stops and you have to flag down the buses. We had a very interesting citizen last night talk about the experience that, they tell you to stand on the right side of the road. They didn't tell you which is the right side of the road. I mean, Deborah was great in her conversations about it, but, and there's no particular, you stand in a certain area and you flag down the bus and you may have to wait an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. To me, that's not efficient. So the dollars that they're already receiving, can that be improved, to make those routes more efficient and come up with a solution? I am glad that A&M is allowing non-students to ride their buses. Those are our tax dollars that go towards their transportation system. And so the folks that do work on campus or work close to campus can benefit from those services. So I think we can look at what we already have in place and see if we're doing a good job to make that efficient and if we can make that better. And then we can look if there's additional dollars that need to be spent to expand services or to make the services better. Again, as a council, we haven't talked about it. But, everyone seems to be talking about it. So I'm hearing a lot from the community on the issue. And I think it'll be probably one of the biggest hot topics that we've discussed in a long time.
Well, before we leave that, then, I mean, you said it, and I don't know the other members of council, but, I went this weekend to try to learn about a bus system, and it's a pretty esoteric situation. I mean, you're not going to find a lot of people who are specialists on that. So as you, as an elected official, as one of the stewards of our tax dollars, who do you go to learn more about a Metro bus system? Where do you find that stuff out?
Well, I guess you can look in, Bryan and College Station, particularly Bryan's on a large metropolitan area. So, when we travel, we go to, other large metropolitan areas that have subways and metros and bus systems that we all use. And it seems to be running pretty effectively. You can get you from point A to point B in a relatively short period of time. And you can get to your jobs and run your errands efficiently.
Works in Boston is not going to work in Bryan. It's
definitely not going to work here. And the money that's involved in it and the money that they charge, and you have a different culture there where they, majority of the folks, because of congestion and overcrowding, use the bus systems and metro systems and rail systems. Here, everyone wants to get in their cars and get from point A to point B. So it's a different thinking and thought process here in Bryan College Station. I think we talked to the experts. There's been a lot of folks. I've had a few correspondence from some folks from A&M that are in transportation that wanted to chime in and talk about it. And so I think we get those experts and those that have used the system, that are using the system, that have ways to improve it. I've talked to 4 or 5 people that use the system on a daily and weekly basis, and they had some great ideas. I mean, you learn a lot from the folks that actually are using the system, and they'll tell you the pros and the cons and what can be done to improve it. So it's beyond just expanding, weekend uses and after-hours uses. It doesn't seem like it's that efficient, from 8 to 5, so to speak, where if you're not there by a certain time, you're going to wait an hour or two to catch the bus. And if you get off of work at 5:30, you're probably going to miss your 5 o'clock bus opportunity. And then you wait a couple hours to get a ride home from someone else. Mm-hmm. But transportation is important. It is important to a lot of the residents in Bryan and College Station. And again, I think with A&M, with Brazos Transit and what we have in place, we need to see how we can maybe make those routes more effective, look at extending those routes so folks that do work shift work or late hours or on weekends can utilize it. So we're going to learn a lot in the next few months in regards to transportation and bus services, but I look forward to those discussions.
Sure. And finally, today, I know you have lots of outstanding employees in the city of Bryan, but I know you want to take a minute to mention one in particular.
We do, Scott. Was dropping off my kids this morning to school, and I won't mention which one, but one of my babies we were talking about our fire chief, McGregor. He was named top fire chief in the state of Texas. And she goes, "Wow, is he that good?" I said, "Baby, he is that good. He's great." And Scott, we do have wonderful employees at the city of Bryan. I mean, we sometimes don't mention them as often as we need to, but I hear about them all the time and all the things they do. But, it's been a trying few years for our fire department. And Chief McGregor was new to the job and has only been there a few years. So he's had a lot on his shoulders and a lot on his plate recently. A lot of things have changed, but we received a safety award for the department, which reflects highly on the men and women in our fire department. And then we're all very proud of Chief McGregor and the job that he does and is doing for the citizens of Bryan, again, protecting the citizens and their properties. You can't say enough about both of our fire and police chiefs and fire and police department and the other city services, whether it's the folks that are picking up your trash. Was out here just a few weeks ago. A gentleman was got out of his garbage truck, and I was kind of pulled over, so I was watching to see what he was doing. I figured that was his house. And he was going in to check his mail or something, and he went and pulled the trash can from the back of the house. And found out it was a senior citizen that could no longer get out and pull her trash can to the curb. So he pulled her trash can to the curb and then went and put it back in her backyard and took off. And I was just amazed, and I hear that that's a fairly common occurrence. If you're unable to do so, they'll help you. But we've got some great folks, men and women at the city of Bryan. And,
hey, I watch those tree and limb guys. They're something too. They do. They get out of the truck and do it right.
They don't leave a twig. But very proud of them. And I do want to congratulate Chief McGregor on the job he's doing for the city of Bryan. I mean, that is a huge honor. I can't remember the last time that we've had a chief in the area that's received this top honor. But as my daughter would say, he is the top chief in the state of Texas, and that's pretty impressive.
And he's
right here in Bryan. I want to mention something real quickly.
Sure.
We've got a public hearing, an open house on March 5th at the city of Bryan Council Chambers and Lobby from 3 to 6 in regards to the St. Joseph Health System, City of Bryan, and Bryan Health and Wellness Task Force. So the Health and Wellness District that we're proposing and planning, we'll give an opportunity to talk and learn about that and attend. So that's March 5th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the City Council Chambers at the Pink Palace on 29th Street and Texas Avenue.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the time
this
morning.
Scott.